Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
ESPN's Teron Davenport, Talking Titans, now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our man Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, as we are finally less than 2 weeks away from the first round of the NFL draft. TD, good morning. How are we doing?
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, TD, you put it out there earlier this week that the Titans are going to be meeting with Quincy Riley, the corner out of Louisville, next week. So, in general, I'm curious of your thoughts of where the Titans currently stand at that position. We saw Awuzie go, obviously. There's a ton of pressure and a ton of reliance that they're going to have on Snead being healthy and available next season. But as you look at the draft, what do you make of where the Titans currently stand at corner, and how open do you think they will be, should be, in adding to that room at some point here in the draft?
Well, I think the best teams, what they tend to do is prepare early for possible exits. And Roger McCreary, he's going to be a free agent at some point. You know, they're going to have to figure out, are they going to re-up him or let him go? I like Roger McCreary, so I personally would bring him back. But you look at a guy like Quincy Riley that can play inside and out. That's tough. You know, he's feisty. Maybe not the same run defender as Roger McCreary, but he's someone that you could bring in, and that gives you somebody that could slide into that spot if need be. But then also you look at the uncertainty as far as need and that injury is concerned. They say that he's doing some light running and he's back working and on trending towards being healthy again, but you never know. So I think that is something you have to factor in right now when you look at the cornerback position.
All right, so TD, I'm going to ask you a question Robbie asked me earlier on the show.
Okay.
Position groups, and we'll count the offensive line as a full group, but like, you know, D tackles, D ends, linebackers, go around this team. How many, which ones would you say you feel good about right now? And I guess good is subjective, but like, you know, this is a group that can go out and be a winning group on an NFL Sunday. What positions would you look at?
I think the secondary overall, cornerback and safety, I think that's a group, you know, when healthy. That's the key thing. We know Amani Hooker is a very good player, but he's not always healthy,
right,
and he hasn't played a full year. But you mix in with Xavier Woods, who has been an Iron Man all his career, I think that's a good DB, you know, secondary. And I think Mike Brown mixing in is solid for them. And then you look at cornerback, I think right now, right, and you've got to look at the positive part of it. You know, if Snead comes back, you got Darrell Baker Jr., you got Jarvis Brownlee Jr., you got McCreary. I think that's a solid group. But after that, nothing.
that's a fair point. Not even because DT was the one. I mean, you know, I thought, you know, with Sweat, you gotta hope Sweat takes a step, right? And then
yeah,
we'll see what Jeff
what?
Has.
I'll give you that. DT, I think Sweat and Simmons, and then, you know, Keandre Culver, bringing him back was major. I think he's a good player that's just underrated, and I think he's a solid part of the rotation. So that was a slip up on my part. So I would say, hey, right up the middle, right? You know, secondary and interior D lineman, but it skips linebacker for sure.
So, TD, we had somebody bring this up earlier this week about you and I being the only people that talk about Kyle Kennard. So I'm going to talk about Kyle Kennard again because I really like him, and I think he's got a chance to be a really good player in the league. What is it that you like specifically about him, and why do you think maybe in draft circles and in some of the conversation around edge rushers – that he's not getting as much talk as maybe some of these other guys are?
Right, he's not getting as much talk because he's not as juicy of a prospect, right? You look at Shamar Stewart, oh, man, he runs a 4.5, the traits, blah, 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 right? You look at, you know, James Pierce Jr., the traits, right? You look at all these guys, Landon Jackson, a guy I really like, you know, the length and the athleticism. You look at all that. But one guy that has just, the last time I checked, the Bronco Nagurski Award is given to the best what?
Yep.
Defensive player. And he won that award, right? And a lot of people, they're high on Will Campbell, and I get it. But go back and watch the LSU South Carolina film. If you really, like, actually watch that, you're going to come away like, man, Kyle Kennard is a dog because he got him 1.5 times. So I think, you know, when you look at Kennard, he has the things that I like as far as, like, you obviously love the traits, but I love the heavy hands. I love the tenacity. I love the motor. I love those things. And when you have a guy like that, typically those traits will transfer over into the league. A lot of times when guys who rely so much on athleticism to win, you're going against a different level of talent, and that doesn't always show up. But those guys that just have that drive, that motor, he has it. And, I mean, you know, he was productive at Georgia Tech, and you get him to South Carolina, and that whole defense, like, that was a wrecking crew, and he was the leader of it.
So, TD, we had Lewis Riddick on ESPN went Mahomes as a comparison. And actually said the impact of Mahomes, again, you know, you can interpret that different ways, but that was a pretty strong statement, I thought. Yeah. And then, you know, Dane Brugler's draft guide, The Beast, said taller, slower Kyler Murray. So on the same day, you know, you got quite a range there of, quite a range there of comparisons, I guess. The Mahomes thing is, like, obviously that's the dream for anybody drafting a quarterback at one overall, but what about Kyler Murray as a comp? Because I would not have thought of that. I think of Murray as such a running threat, and Cam, I think, you know, ran, like, what did we say yesterday, 4.87? Is that what he ran? He did say slower, but still, what do you think of that comp? And I don't know, if you have a comp that's different from those guys, what would it be?
You know why you didn't think of Kyler Murray as a comp? Because comping him is wrong.
Yeah.
It's real simple. I don't know what. And look, The Beast, you know, I know it's an industry favorite. Everybody loves it. You know, I personally suggest go get an Emory Hunt's football game plan. It goes 1,200 players deep, and it doesn't just list the last 200 players. It gives you reports on all 1,200 players. It's better. I'll just put it out there. But as far as the comp, the Kyler Murray I don't know what he could have possibly been thinking with that. I don't really necessarily have a comp for Cam Ward. I do like the off like, you know, platform throws and things, and when Lou Riddick is talking about Patrick Mahomes comp, I think that's fair. But when you get into talking about the impact, no, we gotta stop that too, because we're talking about a guy who's knocking at the door of being the best quarterback ever, right? And I don't think, you know, that's the way you want to compare Cam Ward. When I do comps, I always do traits. And that's why, you know, I see the Kyler Murray one, and I'm like, what on earth are you seeing? Because there are no traits that are similar. Maybe because they both wear number one, and he was thinking of that. I don't know, but, yeah, Dane, like T.O. said, better go back and take another look, because that's dead wrong.
So, TD, we had Michael DiRocco on last year before the season, and we were talking with him about Calvin Ridley. And one of the points he brought up was it took Ridley a long time in Jacksonville to get on the same page with Trevor Lawrence and to run the right routes and all those things. And he said it took him a couple months to do that. Then we saw him last year, and it took him a long time to get on the same page with Will Levis. What's your concern level that could happen again with Cam Ward, and how much of a task do you think it will be for Brian Callahan heading into camp to make sure that as quickly as humanly possible, Ward and Ridley are on the same page?
Yes, it's, you know, the concern level should be high, because it's going to happen, right? I mean, it's happened elsewhere and already happened here. So that's something that you just got to kind of get the two ready to grow through it, right? Because sometimes, you know, like, you'll have a choice route, right, or a sight adjustment, and the quarterback might think one thing and the receiver thinks another, and then you see them going back and forth with each other on the field. You know what I mean? So those things are going to happen. But then it's all about, okay, how do we adjust? Like, how do we learn from that and make sure it doesn't happen again and again and again? And I think that's the big thing that Callahan has to look at. That's what Ty Tober has to look at. That's what Bo Hardigree has to look at. Nick Holtz as well. Like, they all have to figure out a way, okay, how are we going to get these two to learn from the mistakes that are inevitable to happen? That's the big thing. I talked to Ridley about that a lot during the season. And, you know, the main thing for him was, like, watch a film together and just getting the same understanding and idea of how to approach that. You know, that's something that I talked to Xavier Restrepo about, and he said Cam Ward was awesome with that. So, you know, I don't think it's going to change. I think he's going to really push to get on the same page with the guys, and I think it's going to happen, but they just have to figure out how to work through it.
Well, TD, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us. We are less than 2 weeks away from draft time, so we're getting close, and have a great weekend, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, man. You guys, too.
Absolutely. Teron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row. We'll react to what TD had to say. Take your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. Weekend winners coming up at 8:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Row, 1025, 1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Sounds take on Memphis. Pre-game at 620, first pitch at 635. Coverage also available on the Game National app and at thegamenational.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Vanderbilt Baseball later tonight as the Commodores take on Oklahoma. Pre-game at 645, first pitch at 7 o'clock. Coverage available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Appreciate TD for being with us in the last segment. Joe, I love Kyle Kinnard. I hope the Titans end up with him. And somewhere in the second, maybe early third, if they trade back.
When he's like your Rondale Moore or your Cam Skedaboo.
Yeah, that's my guy.
I do. I'm all about Skedaboo.
You know, in retrospect, as much as I hate Shane Beamer, I do really like some South Carolina players. Like old Xavier Leggett last year. How could you not like him? But love that guy. And Kyle Kinnard, I think, is really good.
Did you see the thing with Xavier Leggett where he got like a new horse?
Yes, I did. He was just riding around town.
He was riding around town on his new horse. Amazing stuff.
I mean, talk about a person who needs a reality show. He would be near the top of the list.
Like, yeah.
He's incredibly entertaining.
Yeah.
I need him to be an outstanding player.
Now that they've apparently, like Hard Knocks, they don't have the rules anymore. Just anybody can do it.
Just follow him around.
I mean, I think that seriously, if I'm Hard Knocks producer, I'm not kidding. Like, I'm like, that.
Go follow him.
Plus, between them, I mean, you know, the Bryce Young storyline is interesting. But, you got the, who knows what the owner might do.
Yeah,
some crazy crap at some point. Just have some public outburst, get in a fight. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities. Yeah. Go! I'm all in on the Panthers for Hard Knocks.
Yeah, I'm interested too. TD not a fan of the Kyler Murray comparison there at the Beast last time out. So
we have to get Dane on here to have a little TD Dane point counterpoint, I guess. Yeah, I mean, again, like I think the obvious part of that comparison is the ability to extend and elude in the pocket, and Cam. Definitely, like, does that at times, like, a eyes in the back of the head type. That's the only thing that, to me, you know, comes to mind. I don't know about – I mean, you know, Kyler can rip it, you know. So I guess there's that too. But obviously Kyler can go get you big chunks on the ground, and I don't think Cam will be doing that in the NFL. I actually heard D-Mace yesterday talking about how, like, if you go back and watch – film of him, like, from before last year, you know, he can run better than people think. I think he'll be able to extend plays, but again, like, 4.9 kind of tells you, like, he's not gonna be a big threat on the ground, but extending plays, you know, eluding, sidestepping, running back this way, that way, then making a big time throw, that's the only thing I can think of when it comes to, like, a Kyler comparison.
Well, it's, by the way, like, I care about the ability to extend plays, buy yourself some time, and then throw it down the field way more than I care about the quarterback running the ball. Like, it's nice to have the quarterback to run the ball.
You like to have that, though.
You like to have Josh Allen, and you like to have Lamar Jackson. But if I'm forced to choose, I would much rather have the ability to get yourself out of some trouble, look down the field, and throw the ball. Yeah. Mahomes can do both. Allen can do both. Jackson can do both.
But like even Mahomes can still, I mean, he's faster than Cam Ward, for example. I mean, he can still make, you know, give you some gains in that way. Yeah, you really just don't want, I mean, frankly, in that way, you don't want, you know, Goff. You don't want Cousins, guys who, like, if they get pressure, they're not escaping it. They're not running. They're just kind of
falling.
Yeah, they're falling to the ground.
Peyton used to do that a lot. He'd drop back. Yeah. And like if somebody came close to Peyton, you're like, let's just hit the dirt. Let's just not take this hit.
Yeah.
Which I respected.
Dan Marino.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Not eluding rush.
Not eluding a whole lot of rush there. So we'll see what that means. It was interesting. So, you know, we asked TD about the position groups that he feels good about with the Titans. Secondary, you know, going corner and safety, and then the defensive tackles. That was it. Nothing on really on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, that kind of goes to show you where the roster is right now. You know, there are people that will say offensive line. They have addressed offensive line. My take on the offensive line, Joe, is I need to see that Dan Moore is a good left tackle before I believe that Dan Moore is going to be a good left tackle. That's about where I'm at on it. I feel pretty good about Latham on the right. Like, you watch J.C. Latham play a lot of right tackle in college, and he did a good job. I didn't think that J.C. Latham was great as a rookie last year on the left side. I didn't think he was an abject disaster either. So, like, I've got a pretty open mind, and I've got decent confidence that Latham can be a good right tackle. He certainly will be better than what they had at right tackle last year, which should not be the bar. But, again, I like Zeitler coming in. Skoronski, I thought, got better as the season went on last year. Now, we'll see about center because I still have my doubts as to whether or not Cushenberry is going to be ready to go coming off the Achilles when the season starts. So we'll see on that front. But it's hard. I cannot just say I feel good about the offensive line just because they've addressed it.
Yeah, decent maybe. Maybe I could go decent. Better, sure. How much better, I don't know, but not better enough to say good.
Yeah, I mean, there's too many questions there. And, you know, I say Skoronski's gotten better. He has. Now he's basically starting over again too, right, of that partnership, both to the left and right. Like, if Cushenberry can't go, you got somebody else playing center. You've got a new left tackle that you're getting used to on the left side of things. So, like, it's, you know, not that that's the be-all, end-all. Like, some of it in the NFL is just as simple of can you block your guy when it's time to block your guy. But we know, we've talked about this, how important it is, that relationship of who's to your left, who's to your right, and working in concert there. So we'll see with Dan Moore in the fold what that looks like for Skoronski.
Yeah.
It'd be nice for him to be, like, immediately you look at him in year three and say, yeah, I feel pretty good about where he's at. That'd be great.
That would be a big deal. So you just reminded me of a text we got way earlier in the show from Mark from Hendersonville, who gave us his all-time Titans all-draft team.
Okay.
So let me go through this real fast, because the reason you reminded me of it is because you said Skoronski. Quarterback, Mariota and Vince Young. Again, this is the team people they drafted since they've been in Tennessee. Mariota and Vince Young. I mean, I guess so, right?
I
think that's probably right. Mariota, then Vince Young. Better than Locker. They had already drafted McNair.
Yeah.
Running back.
Again, he's pointing out just drafted by, like, the Titans.
By the Titans. Derrick Henry and Chris Johnson, definitely a running back. Jared Cook and Jonnu Smith at tight end. Wide receiver, A.J. Brown, Derek Mason, of course. Then Corey Davis and Kenny Britt. Woo!
Kind of goes to show you.
But offensive line. Okay, Michael Roos, yeah. Okay. Benji Olsen, for sure. Jack Conklin, yeah. Eugene Amano. And then he's got Skoronski. Have they been so bad at drafting guards that Skoronski would be on here? I mean, obviously, the kid from Alabama they drafted.
Oh, Warmack?
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't go so well.
That one did not go well. But, man, if anybody can think of a better guard.
Think of the guards they've drafted.
Yeah. Edges, Curse, obviously, and Derek Morgan. Is Derek Morgan? I think I'd put Harold Landry ahead of Derek Morgan, right?
Morgan,
yeah.
Yes.
Defensive tackle, Haynesworth and Simmons. I think that's a gimme. Keith. Oh, okay. I guess he did defensive end and outside line. Keith Bullock, Harold Landry.
That makes sense.
Inside linebacker, Avery Williamson and Stephen Tulloch.
Okay.
Is David Long Jr. better than Avery Williamson? It was a short. He had a couple years.
Shorter,
pretty freaking good.
But yeah, it's pretty close. Yeah.
Cornerback, McCourty, Adoree, Samari Roll, and Pac-Man.
Pac-Man, huh? Okay.
I mean, great returner.
Is Adoree Jackson on that list?
Is that really? Have they been that bad at drafting cornerbacks? What about
Finnegan?
Yeah, Finnegan was a late round pick, yeah, but that Finnegan was their draft pick, right? Above. He's absolutely in there. And then safety, Byard and Griffin.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. So pretty good. We had a couple corrections for you, Mark.
You know what that tells me?
Someone tell me that Skaronski. Yeah, exactly. But there's got to be a guard other than Skaronski. No?
I have to go back
in the entirety of this franchise
that they drafted. But yeah, probably. But yeah, that whole list tells me they need to draft better.
And by the way, to me, the all draft team, if you like, again, Finnegan was good anyway, but he's like a late round pick,
right?
If you had a fourth round guard who's comparable to Skaronski, then he gets on the team because he's better value,
better
right?
Value. Yeah, for
like
sure.
That should be part of a team like that. It would be like the value, your value relative to where you were selected.
You know, we talk about. Obviously, quarterback is the most important draft slot that you can have because if you get that right, it just affects so many other things. Like, it would be nice for them to, at some point here, draft another edge rusher that is an absolute monster out there. Like, Harold Landry was good. He wasn't great, but he was good. Derek Morgan was a good player. I mean, Javon Curse was the, if not the primary reason, one of the short list of reasons of why they made the Super Bowl back in 1990.
Yeah, the fact that they went from basically an 8-8 type of team to boom.
Yeah.
You're the best team in the AFC. He was a force multiplier.
That's a high bar. I understand that. But they need like one of those guys at edge that they just haven't had in a long time.
Yeah.
They need that.
More than, again, Landry, you'll take that. You'll take his career. He was good. But you need the guy who scares other teams, who dictates strategy on the other side of the ball.
We got weekend winners coming up next. Take your thoughts on all things Titans as well, 615-737-1025. It's time for the fourth annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament. Cromwell Media, along with Fox 17, Outfront Media, and Social Indoor. Proud to announce we'll be back at Hermitage Golf Course coming up on Thursday, May 29th. You can join us if you guest media members, athletes, musicians. We're raising money for Folds of Honor. Donations go to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. You can sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. This is Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063, The Game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Road have weekend winners for you now on ESPN 1025 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
It is time for weekend winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. A standings update in the competition. Rex Road has vaulted himself into first place.
Ooh!
In the competition. He went 4-2 last week with his lock, as did Keezer. He went 4-2 with no lock. So there's that to keep in mind. Which brings the overall standings. Joe Rex wrote 23-19, good for 28 points, 5-2 on his locks. Keezer 22-20 overall, 3-4 on his locks, 25 points. And I have 22-20, 4-3 overall, 26 points. So Rex wrote in first, I am in second. Keezer 1 point behind me in third is where the standings are now in the competition.
Wait, I'm sorry, you're 22-20 and 4-3?
That's correct.
So you have 26?
Correct.
Gotcha.
There you go.
So does Nick does he grandfather these to or
he does Ian
to,
takes
to
over
Ian inherits Nick's spot.
Hey, it's a close competition.
Like, we're all kind of like right there. So
yeah,
that's good.
No, that's fine.
Good time.
Good luck, Ian.
Yeah. We begin.
Good job, Nick.
With the Predators, who are red hot. Who, by the way, have wrapped up the 30th spot in the league. It's where they're going to be. So the Predators winning two in a row. They're taking on the Golden Knights tomorrow in Vegas. The return of Jonathan Marchessault back to Vegas for the first time since he signed in Nashville. Rex Road, you're up first. Who you got between the Preds and the Golden Knights?
I will go with the team playing the Preds, the Golden Knights.
The Golden
Pretty
Knights.
Safe bet this year.
The selection there. Keezer, the Predators and the Golden Knights. Who you got tomorrow?
Yeah, I think the Preds ride off of that shootout win and get the job done in Jonathan Marchessault's return
to
Vegas. Because he needs it very much so. Barry Trotz, thanks.
You know what? The Golden Knights are going to win their division. It's all but wrapped up. They haven't wrapped it up yet, but they're going to. I think the Preds get a nice emotional win in the Fortress tomorrow. Marchessault plays his butt off, and the Preds go out there and win against the Vegas Golden Knights. There's some motivation there, Joe.
Good stuff, WHMR.
You don't seem to agree. That's okay.
I'm WHTR.
Tennessee in a weekend series with Ole Miss kind of this weekend in Oxford. Some hostile territory for the Vols. Keezer, who wins the series, the Vols or Ole Miss?
I'm going to go with Tennessee. I think they win 2 out of 3 in this one. I was listening to a show with Tony Vitello talking about those younger players, and they're battling some stuff right now. But I think they get the job done this weekend against Ole Miss.
Vols lock. The disappointing week last weekend for them. Got all the rain, and they had to play doubleheader on Saturday and all that stuff. And it did not go well against A&M last weekend. Give me the Vols locking down against Ole Miss. Joe Rexroad, who wins the series, Tennessee or Ole Miss?
Yep. Mute. Mute me. But bring me back, and I'll be a homer just like you guys. WHMR across the board.
There we go. Vanderbilt taking on Oklahoma in Norman this weekend as well. I'll start on this one. Give me Vanderbilt. I mean, I'm going full homer the whole way here. Yeah. Preds, Vols, and Vanderbilt this weekend. Joe Rexroad, Vanderbilt, and Oklahoma. Who we got?
Same thing. And I'll also take Vandy to win its spring game tomorrow.
Yes.
1 o'clock, First Bank Stadium.
Big matchup in the spring game as well. Keezer, Vanderbilt, and Oklahoma. Who we got?
Clean sweep across the board, going with the Commodores. Oh, that's kind of scary.
Oh, boy.
I'm the only person that saved us from being absolute abject homers across the board in all three.
And it's because you're disrespect to the Nashville Predators.
Exactly.
All right, let's head to the individual portion of the program. Keezer, your first individual selection.
Yeah, a little tip-off here from the boys sitting in the studio with me this morning. I'm going to go with the Houston Rockets to cover plus 10.5 against the Lakers and make it my lock.
Yeah!
Because a few players are out, so we'll see if Houston's surefire scores end up covering that score, but I feel confident with that.
Rockets plus 10.5, locking down against the Lakers. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
All right, Western Michigan double overtime thriller in the Frozen Four last night over Denver. It's Western Michigan, Boston U, 6:30 tomorrow night, ESPN2. Give me the Broncos to win the first natty in school history. Make it my lock.
Wow. Locking down.
Guarantee.
A little college hockey there for you. Give me the Tampa Bay Lightning minus 1.5 against the Detroit Red Wings. I really like the Lightning. I really like two of those teams in that division. And I've refused to believe in Toronto until I actually see them do it in the playoffs. But it's turning out to be a pretty good division, but I'll go the Lightning minus 1.5 against Rexroad's former beloved Red Wings. Rexroad, your second individual selection.
They're dead to me. Yeah, so let's go NBA. I shouldn't play. I'm playing the heartstrings too much this week, but you know what? Actually, I'm going to flip it around. Warriors, who completely blew it the other night against the freaking Spurs, and Harrison Barnes, of course, hits the three to beat them, a guy who never hit a three in his entire time with the Warriors.
Jeez.
Warriors Trailblazers, they have to win tonight. They will win tonight, but the spread is minus 14.5. I actually think the Blazers will give them a little bit of a scare. So give me the Blazers and the 14.5.
Going Blazers plus 14.5 against the Warriors. I will go with the Pelicans plus 14 against my beloved Miami Heat. The Heat are trash. I don't know what to tell you. They're trash. They'll win the game because the Pelicans are terrible, but I'll go plus the 14 for the Pelicans to cover the spread. Keezer, your second individual selection.
Yeah, going over to the NHL, some teams that are making the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. Give me the Ottawa Senators minus 1.5 over the Montreal Canadiens.
Going with Ottawa minus the 1.5 against Montreal. Keezer, go ahead and fire us up with your final individual selection.
Yep, lots of hate for Tropicana, so might as well keep it relevant this morning. I mean, give me the Atlanta Braves plus 1.5 to cover against Tampa Bay. And I believe we have an event this weekend where you get to go have a watch party with the Braves. So go over to the, the FanDuel Lounge?
BetMGM.
BetMGM Lounge,
I believe that's later next week.
Have they won a game yet?
Yeah, it is next week.
Have they won a game yet?
They won last week. That was one of the picks that I made last week.
Oh, okay.
And they won like 10-0.
There you go.
Nice.
Going with the Braves against the Tampa Bay Rays. When does this game take place? They're playing the Rays
today.
Today and then again next week?
I guess so.
How about that? A lot of action against the Rays coming up. We'll see what happens. So, Rexroad, your final individual selection.
So Grizzlies Nuggets, huge game for both in the playoff race. It's also the matchup of teams that just fired their coaches.
Interesting.
In Denver, and the Grizzlies have not necessarily responded all that well. The Nuggets, so far, they got a huge win at Sacramento. The Nuggets are -7.5. I'm going to go with the Nuggets to win by more than that, which would mean I'm taking the Nuggets to cover the point spread on the game, on the sports game. Thank you.
That's good. Nuggets -7.5 against the Memphis Grizzlies. Apparently that's what people do in the NBA now is just fire their coaches of playoff teams right before the playoffs.
Yeah, it's really makes sense.
Give me the Cincinnati Reds -1.5 against the Pirates. That may be my strategy for a while. I may find who's playing the Pirates and just go against them.
Even when Skeens is pitching?
Oh, I made sure Skeens is not throwing tonight. So, yeah, if Skeens ain't throwing, I'm taking the team that's playing the Pirates. That's going to be my strategy, at least for a while, and we'll see how that plays out.
Kind of makes sense.
So in Cincinnati, -1.5 against the Pirates. And look, I mean, it's not like the Cincinnati Reds are God's gift to baseball either. But I don't – it's hard to really drum up a more dysfunctional, bad organization than – what the Pirates have been for basically my entire life.
Just hopeless. And like
I may be the only person watching this game tonight. They were keeping an eye on it. The Pirates and the Reds, who are both 5-8.
They're openly hopeless. I feel so bad for the fans. And, you know, someone, all-time hot take by Stilla. Yeah, I'll take Tropicana over Fenway. Yeah, you know, I kind of like that Trop. But someone pointed out to us on the text line, the PNC, we've both been there for
great
games. Amazing place. And it deserves a competitive team and ownership.
Maybe.
That's bad ownership, the Pittsburgh Pirates.
One of the best stadium/scenes in all of baseball.
It's great.
And the poor fans have to watch that crap team every year. Just a tough one out there.
Still is like, I like the old Metrodome, you know? That's old Kirby Puckett out there. Chuck Knoblauch can't throw to first, but I love it.
You know, Bridgestone's okay, but that municipal auditorium over there is where I'd really like to see the Predators play.
I saw Alex Doherty was tweeting out all the terrible sight lines from Utah last night.
They're going to have to work on that.
Yeah, might have to a little
bit. This entire section, you can't see the ice. How about that?
He's like, he couldn't even see the Preds bench from the media seating. What?
615-737-1025, our phone number. Our final segment with Nicholas Keiser coming up next. By the way, Nate asking if we don't have a – why we didn't have a Masters pick on there. Like, I guess we could take an individual golfer if we wanted to, a bonus pick. But
could have. Too late.
It's too late now.
You can tell us your pick, Nate.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar, and our final segment with Nick Keiser, who has done an outstanding job over the last couple of years of producing this here program. Nicholas, it is your last day, so I turn the floor over to you to say your goodbyes, say what you need to say here on the program.
Yeah.
You rip wherever you need to, man. This is your chance.
I know.
Rip away.
Look, I mean, I see people like putting me on my deathbed in the text line all morning long. But no, look, guys, it's been a really fun time to be with the station overall. You know, I mean, looking back on all the advice I got this morning, I'll have to go back and read more
sift through
of
that.
Them. Yeah, I mean, like that was great stuff, right? So, yeah, there's a lot that I've sat with over the last few weeks and everything that's kind of unfolded for me. And it all happened pretty quickly, right? But, I look back on my time here grateful for everything that Bud's put me up to here and Sean and Chase. And they've had great ideas and put me in great spots. So I really appreciate you guys for that as I hit the microphone. It's like Joe
pulling
does.
A Rex Road over there.
Wow.
Be gracious.
At least you didn't meet yourself.
At least I didn't meet myself, yeah. But no, I've been super grateful for that, to get to cover the team. Robbie, you said it well earlier. I've been able to cover something that I love. It's been my passion for many, many, many years. And you know, ever since I was a little boy playing hockey, I always knew I'd want to go do something with that one day. And I have. And it's been super fun. And for me to be here at the station listening to Pete Weber growing up, listening to Jay Moore and sitting with them currently now has been such a pleasure. And
right next to him in the press box.
Right next to him. And the seating chart's going to be the same for the next week. So that'll be nice to sit with them and kind of enjoy those last few games. But yeah, just a major shout out to this station and everyone that's taught me. Ian taught me a lot of, you know, the Preds games and how to run shows and David James with the Nashville Sounds broadcast and Elijah Campbell with the live shows as well. There's so many people that come to mind for me personally that I have to thank, but I won't get to everybody, but all the part-timers as well. You guys grind and you do your thing. And I've been very pleased with the work that's been done here over the last few years and just who we've added as well. And the guys on the Saturday show have done a good job as well. Force Company's done well. When Junie and I were doing the show for a little bit, that was a lot of fun. And hanging out with Michelle O'Perry, you know, she was a great joy to have around here too. Just heard from her the other day as well. So, but yeah, boys, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you for having me as your producer. It was been fun to be over here after listening to you guys in the morning on my drive in to here. But more importantly, just learning from you guys and reading your stuff. Vingan gave me some words on Preds Insiders, and it sat with me. I may poke at you for how many years I read you before I joined the fold, but it's been a true treat to be alongside you guys and grow in my own career as well. And it's only going to grow from here. So, but that's really all I got to say. Thank you to my parents that have devoted their time and energy to living my dream out in sports as well. They motivated me to be here today. I didn't go anywhere with my hockey career necessarily, but they always pushed me to be at my very best. And
don't
and,
say that's not hold over that. Yet. Yeah, what are we talking about? Can we get you on like the third line with the Mighty Drunks? I mean, is this not possible?
Alex Doherty, right now. Yeah, I know. Just zooming up the ice. So,
well, no. We're very proud of you. You have done an outstanding job as our producer. I'm very excited to see where your career goes. I have all the confidence in the world in you. I have all the confidence in the world that you're going to do great things with whatever you set your mind to. And I said it earlier, I mean, you have come across something that's a rare thing to find, and that is a passion about what you do. So that's going to serve you well. You do an outstanding job covering the Predators. That's not going to change. I'm looking forward to watching you do that as you continue to move along here. But you've done a great job here. We love you. We're very proud of you, and we wish you all the best moving forward here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for everything.
Yeah.
Because as we know, you have to deal with some crap dealing with this show. One side a little more than the other. I want to read a text here, though.
Oh, boy.
Should I read it in his mom's voice? No, I won't do that. I just have to. This is from your mom.
As long as no cousins are involved, I'm cool with whatever yes. you do over there.
Please.
I need to read a love note from my cousin.
Spare Brennan of any details.
Okay. Bruno, he's in there like, what is it? Why is this my dad? Okay. So this is from your mom. She says, just have to say, I'll miss hearing your voice every morning on my way to work. I'm so excited for what's ahead. I'm very proud of your work, your integrity, and your compassion. I could go on and on about how proud I am. Congratulations for the future. That's from mom.
Yeah. Very nice.
Very nice.
Very, very nice. Yes.
No, we appreciate you, man. You've done great work. Just echo everything Robbie said. You know, we're excited for the future for you, and yeah, thanks for everything. Because so a lot of troubleshooting goes into this,
absolutely,
and a lot of support, and we could not do it for people. You know, people listen to us, but they don't really get a sense for what you guys, the producers, do necessarily. Now, like Ian, obviously has to deal with like hot take diarrhea on a daily basis. So I mean, like, there's different messes that people have to clean up, but seriously, like, you are the foundation of what we do here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and sometimes I have no idea what you're going to rant about, so I just have to make
a random
conglomeration of everything that you say. So I hope today was a good example of that. Just don't give anyone any more pocket mints, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm reformed on the pocket mints. Well, with time left, sports takes, like, you know, like when Brennan's internship was done, we let him have some sports. Do you have some sports? Do you have, like, what's your hottest take you want to leave us with, man?
I really don't have anything crazy. I don't have anything prepared.
It doesn't have to be a hot take, even if it's like a cool take.
When will the Predators win the Stanley Cup?
There you go. How about that?
Give me a year.
Oh, gosh. I'll give you an approximate maybe with the core they have now, with the core they're trying to bring up, I would say they probably win a cup maybe 7 or 8 years from now.
7 or 8 years.
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. That's just my feel. I also feel like we'll see.
So Saros going to win the Vezina that year? That'll be in the last year of his deal.
Yeah, really?
Look at this ancient guy out here.
Maybe a new goalie.
Look at this little old guy.
Yeah. I think Matthew
Is
Wood.
Is that Rex Rhodes' cousin in the stands?
The wedding veil on?
Jeez. Another face-off.
Well, we just nuked that last part.
Yeah. Totally did. Sending you out with class, my friend.
That's all right. I like it.
Well, Keezer, we love you. Appreciate everything you've done for the program, and we'll see you around, my man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
We're
guys
getting
for
pizza soon, right?
Yeah.
Yes, we have to.
We have to do that. That's going to do it for us today here on the program. Hope everybody has a wonderful weekend here. Enjoy the Masters out there, which is a great golf tournament, despite what Stilly may say. We'll be back 6 a.m. Monday morning. Chase and Big Joe's coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.